Blog Talk Radio. It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Good afternoon. This is Claudia Cleary with Namaste Nutrition on www.blogtalkradio.com/GGM. And I am so excited to be here today with you, having a chance to talk about food for the body and food for the soul. So one of the things that I wanted to tell you about is on my website, which is shop.com/Claudia Cleary. There is, just in time for the holidays, a new energy booster kit, and these three products sold separately would end up costing considerably higher than what they cost right now. You can get Mokotonics of B-Complex and Intense Effects, and combined together, the discount is 28% as an energy booster kit. So I just wanted to let you know you can go to shop.com/Claudia Cleary and check it out and see if there is something there in addition to that that might be of interest to you to help you get through your holiday in considerably more peaceful and stable frame of mind. So that being said, one of the things that I love doing is bringing really amazing people to you. If you haven't heard any of these individuals before, this is your chance to get to know them better. So the person who I have on my show today is Robin Rose, and she is quite an amazing woman. She has published a book recently called Mother Mary and the Undoing Process. She is also the facilitator and the creator of the Universal Light Workers Convention, which has now changed its name. It's now the Spiritual Awakening Conference, and it's going to be held in San Diego next year early. And so I would like to also say that she is quite an exceptionally gifted, skilled social energy worker and we just simply cannot describe everything that she's capable of doing. Robin, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Hello, Claudia. How are you, love?
I am doing really, really well. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic in the middle of a snowstorm, quietly sitting in my office.
Oh, I'm so glad you're in the middle of a snowstorm right before Christmas. That's marvelous.
Yeah.
at least you don't have to go out in it.
No, no, thank God.
You're as comfortably, cozily. Oh, that's nice. I'm so glad for you. I'm sure the children in your area are enjoying the snow very, very much.
I can imagine. Well, I just moved to this area, so I'm sure they are, but this is my first real big snowstorm, so I'm pretty happy. I really love the snow.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Have you heard how much snow you're expected?
I don't know. It's set all day, and it's pretty high, so I don't even pay attention. I just kind of let it go, and whatever happens, happens.
Go with the snow, right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about some of the experiences that you've had that's led up to where you are right now. You had a rather interesting childhood, and you came from a family that really didn't understand too much about seeing and feeling and hearing. And from a young age, you experienced seeing visions and hearing individuals speak to you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, my first memories are around 5 years old of, you know, of my appearances at the time. I just called her the lady because I didn't know who she was. But that was Mother Mary, and she was very, you know, in the midst of all the chaos in which I lived in, she was always an oasis to me, you know, always talking with me, always comforting me, which is not what I received physically, not what I received from my family, you know, and that kind of doting love and everything that you would assume a mother is supposed to be, you know. So, you know, I had her as a constant companion. And then I had just, you know, the visions of dead people and things like that. You know, when you're a kid, you don't really understand a lot of times what that stuff is. But I really say it has molded me and helped me be a better person in the sense that, you know, living in, like I said, all the chaos I lived in, it helped me to make a choice to know that there was something better than that, which, you know, in turn guided my life to always wanting to be of service in some way. So, you know, amongst all of that, you know, stuff going on, it actually propelled me, you know, to do my best to be a good person and do my best to help other people, just because I never wanted anyone to experience the hurt and the anguish and so forth that I experienced and that my siblings experienced. So it was very interesting how it affected me.
Out of curiosity, how many siblings did you have, and what was going on in your family at that time?
We are six kids. And my father, my mom married twice. My father died when I was four, and then my mother remarried at five and had three other children. So we had alcoholic parents that were very abusive and just, you know, all the kind of abuse you could imagine, you know, very frightening stuff for children. My brothers and sisters, however, chose to go the road of alcoholism, so I'm the only one who has not taken that path. But it doesn't mean my path was easy, you know. I just had different ways of dealing with the traumas and so forth than they did, you know. So, you know how that is. It affects everybody, and we just all handle it in a different way.
Absolutely. So how do you think that seeing Mother Mary set you on a different path from your siblings?
You know, because of her kindness and her gentleness, and you know, I got to experience, in a way, true motherhood that, you know, my brothers and sisters did not experience because of her comforting and explaining things to me about what was going on. And there was always the ominous, you know, comment that she would make, you'll understand all of this when you're older and you'll use it. So, you know, as a kid, it was like, okay, you know, I'm trusting you because, you know, you're the one who's giving me the love and nurturing I need. And I do understand it now. You know, as a kid, it was just like, oh, okay. You know, so I had what they did not have. Although I have my one brother growing up especially was incredibly psychic. He had a lot of premonitions. But he had, you know, one where he dreamed his friend was going to die falling off a cliff, and 2 weeks later he did. And that, you know, being like 12 years old, I think he was, he didn't know how to do that. My mom didn't want to hear anything about that kind of stuff. So by 13, he was an alcoholic. He just could not handle it. And we had no one to explain that to us, you know. So it was really interesting.
That's so sad. That's very, very sad.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry that your siblings had such a difficult time with all of this. And it's so interesting also how different families end up with identical situations, identical sets of parents, and the siblings handle the set of circumstances that they're thrust into so differently. And I was just thinking about this as I was driving down the road. Jeanette Walls wrote an amazing book called Glass Castles, which is an incredible mm-hmm. story about a family that lived in abject poverty. And they didn't mm-hmm. need to, but it was a choice the parents had made. All of the kids in the family, except for the youngest one, pulled themselves out and made a life for themselves that was much better. The youngest ended up doing something similar to your siblings. And I don't think that there was any kind of specific ability that they had, but they saw that there were differences between their family and others. And mm-hmm. when you see those differences and they're so glaringly obvious, you know, you can make a conscious choice to follow the same pattern that your parents set for you or to move into a different direction, which obviously you chose to do, even though none of your siblings went in that same direction. And I'm really sorry for you that, you know, you've had to watch your siblings suffer in pain while you were able to bring yourself out of it.
Well, like I said, I had my own pains. I just handled them differently, you know. I did, you know, in my 30s, I did have a breakdown emotionally because I didn't, you know, I really felt going to God was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I had bookstores and centers and stuff where, you know, we had classes and so forth. So I always stayed in that and whatever. But there still came a point where I needed somebody to help me process, you know, the hurts and the traumas that were in there. Because some of them I didn't even know were in there. It was not until they actually, you know, I started going through a little depression and so forth. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on. My whole life looks really perfect. But I have these deeper feelings that I don't really know what they are. So I did have to go through a time of really processing and going in and looking at what was in there that I hid from myself, you know. But having my faith and having my understanding of God, of which I had, I don't know that I could have handled it as well had I not had that. So having the support spiritually and, you know, divinely really helped me process some pretty horrible stuff in a fairly short period of time. So I really, you know, did, like I said, you still, sometimes there's stuff still in there, but as long as you really build that foundation with your soul and take care of yourself, you can process it fairly easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that you're such a great example of somebody who's lived through what sounds like abject hell and come out of it. Very, very gracefully. And that's to be, you know, you're to be commended for that. And that's something that I think a lot of people can look towards and understand that they don't have to choose to continue to harm themselves by drinking or by drug use because that was a pattern that was set previously. They can make that choice to stop. And there is help out there, and there are people who understand what they've gone through. So did you end up supporting yourself exclusively through God and through the talks that you had with Mother Mary, or did you seek other additional help besides that?
No, I did. I went to a counselor. I found one that she was a Buddhist, so it was kind of like, you know, I was directed to go there. And, you know, I wanted knowledge. I wanted understanding of what it was, and this was for myself, but in the end, it actually is a universal thing because having understood the personality traits of the abused people, it helps me now to recognize. It's like I could see a person on the street and say, okay, look, I can just see their anger. You know, I can feel it. I can experience it. But what is the underlying thing that triggered that? You know, now I'm able to feel them, see them, and experience them in a deeper way, and I can pinpoint a lot of times where their anger came from. But that took the education part of going through counseling and learning and being able to pinpoint my own stuff. In that whole process, I was able actually to pinpoint that my mother had been abused. And this is what brought her personality on, because now I could see it more clearly. I understood the signpost of everything. So spiritually, I was able to interact with her differently once that was clear to me what was actually going on with her, and I had some understanding. So I think, you know, for me it was like, yes, God is the most important thing in my life, and that is the thing that I want to understand and know most. But most of us still perceive ourselves living in this world, and we need to know what this world is about. So for me, educating on both levels was very helpful.
That's marvelous. You know, that's wonderful. So I know that you're the mom of a couple of girls, correct?
Yeah, I have three daughters.
Three daughters. Okay, three daughters. So because you ended up seeing this and recognizing the signs of, you know, and some of the behavioral patterns, how do you think that your choices changed how you've chosen to parent your kids? How did you break that cycle?
Well, you know, I can't say I actually broke the cycle. I have one daughter who has, you know, she came in with her own issues, and she's very different than the rest of us, and so I'm still addressing those issues, but now with my daughter, and I'm able to talk to her in a way that I never got, you know, so, you know, she has some emotional difficulties that, you know, yeah, they're just there. I mean, we are individuals and we get our stuff. You know, we have to deal with our stuff. But this has really helped me, having both experiences, to recognize something was wrong and then also to be able to approach it from the human aspect and the spiritual, being able to always let her know that she is supported by God. She is supported as being in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, you know, we can conquer any of these things. And you know, so she has had her ups and downs, but in that terms, where my mother never addressed it at all, other than just don't say anything about it, you know, I have been able to work with her, and I have been able to, you know, there's a point where she said she didn't believe in God, so she's not in that place anymore. She's at a place now where she's like, you know, calls and says, can you have your prayer people, or can you pray for me, can you, you know, do things for me, you know, on that level, which for a long time she wasn't even there, so... You know, it has helped me in that sense of being able to deal with my own one child that's in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And it's to be commended. I mean, one of the things that I think, there's this misconception that, you know, if you end up having X number of kids, that they're all supposed to turn out perfectly. And it doesn't always necessarily work out that way. Sometimes their path ends up leading them on a very, very circular pattern, and they don't necessarily follow a linear progression. And they end up, you know, like your daughter is, where she's, you know, sort of figuring things out, but taking a longer route to do it.
Yeah, she's you know, I have a friend, he wrote a book, and in the book he talks about the easy way or the hard way. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of them took the easy way and one took the hard way, you know. But, you know, at least having my experience, I've been able to help her. But someone made a comment once, and they said, you know, we all want our children to be perfect. We want them to be masters. But a master, but if you want a child or anybody to be a master, don't expect them to take a normal path, because they're going to try out everything and have all kinds of experiences. So in the end, they do master it. So that helped me, you know, just that thought really helped me not to just, you know, be frantic about her behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so true. I think it would be nice if we could have all of our kids could be masters of whatever they set out to do. And some of them will never necessarily get to that level. But, you know, mm-hmm. at least your daughter has come from the full circle of, you know, being taught about God from a young age to rejecting God, and now she's going back to God and asking you to help her with prayer work. I think that's great. Yeah. She's obviously working in the right direction for herself.
And yeah, I think, we all know the truth inside of us, and eventually we reach out and grab a hold of it. You know, but I will say this, that a lot of people, you know, I've been doing my conferences for almost 20 years now, and mm-hmm. I find that the most valuable presenters or speakers are those who have had experience in their life, and they can talk about their accomplishments and how they've been able to overcome their, you know, their plight and so forth. It's very inspiring to me. So when I look at my daughter and I think she has a fantastic destiny, once she's through all of this, being able to talk to people about it and show people, look, this is where I was. I was down in the gutter, and here I am today. You know, I really find that valuable, and I think a lot of people respond to that better than those who just come in and say, I'm enlightened from the beginning, you know. So I think experience is wonderful on some levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that everybody ends up coming to that mastery point in their own way, and if it turns out that they have to master it by experiencing it, you know, it's a challenging road to take, but at the same mm-hmm. time, it's their path, and that's what they have to do. And, you know, I mean, some of the most interesting people that I remember talking to are, you know, like you had said, those who've lost everything or literally have experienced just about everything and then came out of it, came out ahead. Thinking mm-hmm. back to the movie Indigo. Amanda, who was who made that movie, Indigo? James Twyman and who was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Neil Donald Walsh.
Yeah.
And I know that he was homeless at one point, and he wrote The Conversations with God and then ended up as an offshoot of those books.
Yeah.
Amazing movie about these remarkable kids who could see and talk to each other. And, you know, I'm sure that some people would probably watch the movie and say, this is really interesting and a very entertaining fiction. But
yeah.
There are too many kids out there who actually will take a look at that movie and say, yeah, I know exactly what this kid is talking about because I've experienced it. And
yeah.
So it's very interesting for parents who might necessarily doubt because they're very scientifically minded and very Western in their thinking to see something like that and say, how could that possibly be real?
Mm-hmm.
But it once again goes back to how can you honestly say that God is real or that faith is something that's intangible and isn't real? So, you know, it's the whole intangible, trust it, take it, for what people have experienced type of a thing and until you experience something similar.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all good. It's interesting. You have also, talk a little bit about the events and the conferences that you've put on and how they have evolved. When did you start? What prompted you to begin doing those?
Well, you know, I used to own a couple of metaphysical bookstores and started out basically with eventually bringing in authors, you know, maybe once a month bringing in an author and having them do a workshop and a book signing and that kind of stuff. And then I went into expos. And I was just thinking yesterday that the first expo I did, I think, in Washington State when I was living there was in 1991. And I hired Dan Millman as my key presenter. And then J. Scott Berry came in and did a magic show, and I was just realizing I'm having those two gentlemen back at this coming conference in February, and I was like, oh, wow, we've really come full circle now here, so that was kind of an exciting thing to think about, and then I went from there to doing, well, I had the bookstores, and then I injured my back, and I just really couldn't handle the day-to-day of doing that anymore, so I started doing the conferences, and started those in 1996 and have been around the world with those and in the States and so forth. And, you know, they've always been about learning to reconnect to our true self, our authentic self as God's children. And but, you know, well, we do a lot of celebrating because God is a celebration, really. And the more that we can be in that joy, I watch and I have been blessed to be able to see over the years the transformation of people that when you first look at them, you think, oh, God, I don't know if they're going to be able to do this. And to watch them, the light come on. And I think that's the greatest joy about doing these events is watching the light goes on in people and how their hearts open and the warmth that they feel. And, you know, the letters I get about, you know, I thought I was alone in the world kind of stuff. And, you know, I think that's the joy of doing these events is just being able to watch that and see that experience for people. And they're just very powerful, and we, you know, I bring together quite a few presenters who, you know, sometimes nobody knows who they are, but you know what, in that autonomy there, they're able to give a part of themselves that a lot of famous people would not. So, and I like to give people a chance. And when I first started this particular Universal Lightworkers Conference, I had hired Greg Braden, and I had hired Jimmy Twyman and Doreen Virtue for, like, nothing because nobody knew who they were at that time. And then they started working together and doing things at my conference that got them pretty famous. So I always felt really good about that. I, you know, let's thrust unknown people out into the world, you know, and let them have a big effect. So I just love doing the events. I think they're just fantastic.
It's wonderful. You know, you have the opportunity to launch people whose work is really valuable and can potentially impact a lot and still
mm-hmm.
stay autonomous and independent and sort of in the background. And,
yeah,
you know, let them take all the kudos, and you still do the conferences that you do, and you do it very well knowing that you've done a really amazing thing for these people. That's remarkable. I was going to ask you, what some of the, you know, and you can protect the names of the innocents so that they don't end up, you know, exposed on radio, but who are some of the people, you know, just talking a little bit about their stories, about how they've evolved and grown and what's ended up happening to them over the years. I mean, if you could use some specific examples, that'd be great.
Well, you know, I've had some presenters who are, you know, way up there now who have come from their own experiences of alcoholism or, like Neil Donald Walsh, homelessness, you know. Mm-hmm. They've had these experiences, loss of relationships, you know, just not even, you know, those who have been alcoholics and so forth, but, you know, those who have had loss of relationships because of their angers and their guilt and their shames that they've carried around. And they've been very open about sharing them in their lectures and so forth, you know. And when people get to see them being human, they recognize the ability to grow in that. And, you know, I've had some that, you know, have been in jail, you know, have been in prison, and in their experiences of prison have found God, you know. And a lot of them started out their paths with Course in Miracles and then, you know, not twisted it, but developed their own way of experiencing that and sharing that. And, you know, I've watched people who have been like actors, you know, because I've actually had quite a few actors as presenters who lost their careers because of their own, it usually a lot of things really show up as anger for a lot of people. And, you know, and they're having to deal with their egos being so big and thinking they're just all that, and, you know, stripping that away to find out what all that really is. So, you know, it's really interesting. You know, I don't know if you know this about Don Miguel Ruiz. When he was at my conference a few years ago, he only had 10% of his heart working. And yet, even though he was in that place waiting for a heart transplant, he came to the conference, and the moment he walked in the room, you felt more love than you'd ever experienced in your life. So people really took that at that particular conference and was like, this guy could actually die at any moment, and yet he's here experiencing and giving us love. And it's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal what that does for people.
Yeah, it's very, very powerful. I'm dealing with the decline of my grandfather right now. And he's 97. And, yeah, no, that's okay. It's fine. I don't see him as going anywhere. And I said to him flat out, because his mind is still very sharp, but but it's just like what you're describing. It's his heart. It's starting to give out. But I said, no, I would much rather see you stick around for a while, because I think the world's a better place with you in it. You've done so much good for so many people, and he really has. He's one of those quiet workers behind the scenes who's done a lot for so many people. He was down in here. And, you know, I won't mention his name just because he's very, very private. He's a terrific person. And, you know, it's people like that who get things done or who move people just by being in their presence that really make an impact, especially because of how they live their life. And that's one of the things that he taught me throughout his life, too, was what can you do that will create impact? And just being able to walk into a room and move people that way is very powerful.
Yeah. So inspiring.
Yeah, very, very much so. So talk a little bit about your experiences with the book that you've just published, because I know that you have this amazing book, Mother Mary and the Undoing Process. How did this book come about, and what prompted you to write it?
You know, I never had a desire to be a writer or anything like that. That was just not really what I felt my path was. But since I was a child, I have been keeping notes, you know, of things that she has said to me. And, you know, I've shared them with a few people, not a whole lot of people. But I've kept those in my garage. And a few years ago, she started talking about 2012 coming up and how, you know, there was a lot of things going on. You know, there'd be a lot of effects on the body. There'd be a lot of effects mentally on people and so forth. And she said, you know, I want you to put this all together. And I didn't listen to her. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. And I was preoccupied with my life. And then I started getting calls from random friends and psychics and, you know, people that I've worked with at the conference, where they would call me and say, hey, Mother Mary appeared to me, and she told me to tell you to write that book that she's been telling you about. And I'm like, oh. Well, okay, I guess I better get on that. But I didn't, honestly, I did not get right on it, and I think I just feared that I wouldn't be very good at it or something, I don't know, but I didn't get on it. And then finally, the last time someone called me, I heard it in a way that was like, you know what, this divine being has loved you and taken care of you your whole life. She's asking you this of you, do it. So I sat down and she started, you know, just coming in and giving me notes. And in those experiences, too, it was the first time that I ever felt like I disappeared. When, you know, usually if she appears to me, I can talk to her and I see her. And sometimes when she's just talking to me, you know, I listen and I'll converse a little. But on these, I just disappeared. So there's the whole part of the whole undoing process there, which I didn't even remember any of it until I actually read the book. And in that process, it's a very simple beginning process of helping us to understand that this 2012 energetic process that we've all been going through has actually been like a, sometimes I don't know how to say it. It like turned on a switch inside of us of an old memory of who we are as authentic reflections of God. And she said, and in that, when that light came on, which it'll hit its peak in this weekend, she was saying in the process of it coming on is when we all started feeling all these weird energetic things and, you know, like all these old memories of childhood or pains and sorrows and stuff started coming up, stuff you thought you never even, that you were done with. And then the body started having all these aches and these pains, and because everything is being shaken up because the light of Christ, who we are, is pulsating inside of us, you know, and it's wanting to burst out and let us remember who we are. And so she gives a process of what that is and tells us, you know, to go through the process, you know, here are 5 steps to help you through this process. And so, you know, going through different types of prayer and meditation and fasting and so forth, she talks about those to help us move through this process in a more gentle way. And then she says, you know, some people are going to decide to leave. That's why we've had so many people passing on at this time. And she said, and it's not all just because, you know, they're sick. Some of them are going on to add their life force back into the force for us to be able to deal with, you know, a lot of the stuff that we'll be going through, you know, spiritually and emotionally. So mm-hmm. it was a powerful book to write for me.
I'm sure that it was. What has been the response of the people who have been reading it, and have you had any feedback?
I've had lots of feedback. My editors were my first feedback, and they were just like, they were sharing with me all the different miracles that had started occurring in their lives, not just the miracles in the sense of getting things, but the forgiveness and the release that they were going through and being able to really recognize more and more who they were as God's children, you know. And that was very emotional for me to get the letters back from them, because that was good because at least I knew that, well, if it only affects these editors, I've done a good job, you know. Somebody was affected by it. But I had incredible feedback, and I haven't really done any promotion on the book or anything. And I got a call from my publisher who said I was the number one seller of their books last month and the month before. And I was so stunned. I was just so happy, and they're going, you know, that means you're going to make some good money. And I was like, you mean people bought it? And all I could think of was that people bought it. And they're going, but you're going to make good money. I'm like, I don't care. People bought the book. I'm so excited. So it's just having a good effect. And like I said, you know, I was just happy it affected at least one person, because I felt like I had done my job that way. So, yeah, I'm getting great feedback from it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful news. Who is your publisher?
I publish through a company called Grail Press.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a few different authors, not a whole ton, but they're all metaphysically oriented authors, and they've had some really great selling books, so I was very happy to just be on top. Even for 1 month would be great, but it's just knowing that the message is getting out, and that's really all you really can hope for.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You want to make sure that people who hear about it are interested enough. So where can people go to purchase this amazing book of yours that's creating such a buzz?
You can get it on my website at universallightworkers.com, or you can go to Amazon or any of those. I do want to tell you one little story. You know when we just had that big Sandy thing in New York and all of that big storm?
Uh-huh.
I have a friend that lives back there. Well, kind of like a student friend, and he lived there, and I was concerned about him, so I dropped him an email, you know, are you okay? And he emailed me back. It took a few days, and he emailed me back, and he said, you know, I'm tired. I've had to work nonstop, you know, trying to keep the water out of these buildings that he works in and so forth. But I just remember what Mother Mary said on page 90 of your book. And I was like, oh, my God, what did she say on page? I had to get my book out and look at it because I didn't know what she said. But she had just made a comment, you know, a comment saying the earth would shake, the waters would rise, and the sky would fall. And so he remembered that, and then whatever she said to, you know, counteract that, not to worry about it. So he remembered that, and I was just like, oh, my God, page 90? I can't even tell you what's on page 90. So that was nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very touching story.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you if Mary had any specific predictions for what was going to happen during 2012 on the planet, as well as what, you know, you'd already talked a little bit about how things are going to change inside of us as people and as, you know, spiritual beings. What has she said about what will happen on the planet and environmental changes or just, you know, shifts with how things are moving forward?
You know, she doesn't really talk to me about that a lot, and I don't remember I had told that you that one time, but she, like that comment she just made, the earth is going to shake, the sky is going to fall, and the waters are going to rise. She did make those comments, but I asked her how come she doesn't share earth changes with me like she does other people whom she talks to, and she said my specific position or job with her is to work on the heart and the consciousness of mankind. So, but she did say this. She said even though the earth is going to shake, the sky is going to fall, and so forth, she was saying those are all aspects of yourself. So if you can make peace with your body and deal with the pains and so forth that are in it and surrender them to God and let the true Christ body come alive in you, you and the earth will not experience that as much. If you deal with your emotions, which are the rising of the waters, the consciousness will be at peace and not experience, you know, as much change. And then if you can change and raise your consciousness and let the old consciousness fall away, being the sky falling, you will be able to raise the vibration of everyone, which in turn reflects on the earth and makes those changes that occur less traumatic and, you know, big. So that's kind of all that she's ever said to me about it. But she did say the consciousness of this planet has an opportunity on those particular days. It starts on the 21st, goes to the 23rd, because it's a whole alignment. And in that time of the alignment, there's a certain, you know, like when the moon rises, it's in the full moon stage for 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. During those 8 minutes that we're in alignment, that all these planets align that we've been waiting for, our consciousness has the ability to rise beyond something we've never known before. So if we can allow ourselves to take some time to be at peace during that time, and also to write down all the stuff that you're thinking and experiencing, because the whole consciousness will raise and you will get ideas and experiences that you've never had, and you'll forget them, though, because we all do forget things, you know, momentarily. But we have the opportunity in that moment to gain enough consciousness and enough spiritual understanding to save our planet from all kinds of things.
Good to know. And it also hopefully will help to bring some peace to people who are very fearful about it.
Yeah.
To recognize. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, that's our job. That's the way I look at it. That's our job. Everything that I do, whether I know you or not, it affects you. Every time that I'm at peace at something, it affects the collective consciousness of all of us. So those who are aware, you know, if they can just get themselves in that position to be receptive to that higher consciousness at that time, it'll just affect everybody and everything. It'll be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that once people recognize the change doesn't necessarily mean something that they have to be terrified of. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I would just like to announce that this is www.blogtalkradio.com/GGN, and you are listening to Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. And we are going to take a very, very short break. And we will be back in just a few moments to talk in some more detail with Robin Rose, who has written a book called The Mother Mary and the Undoing Process. And we will be back very soon.
today's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Oh, nuts! There's a bobcat in this cave! Save us, Sassy! You will, but first you'd like to stress the importance of cat adoption? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year and they need to be adopted? Help us, Sassy! Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is! Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Kiss your baby. Kiss.
angel. It's your baby boy, born of all creation.
Did you know
that your baby boy will one day rule the nation?
Did you know
that your baby boy
will be the first and the last?
Is the grave
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
You're listening to Greater Good Ministries Radio and Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. And now, back to the program.
Hello, this is Claudia Cleary, and this is Namaste Nutrition on GGM Radio, Greater Good Ministries. My guest today is Robin Rose, the author of Mother Mary and the Undoing Process, and she is also the founder of the Universal Lightworkers Conference, which is now called the Spiritual Awakening Conference. So, Robin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you talk a little bit about upcoming events that you are either involved in a sort of a roundabout way, but also events that you're directly going to be connected with and bringing forth?
Well, we have our Spiritual Awakening Conference in February, which is in the 15th through the 18th, and that's in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like the 25th, 26th, one of those conferences that we've done in the last 20 years. And so I'm excited about that one. But I'm also involved in, this weekend, there are a few things going on that I've been involved with, which is there's the Sedona Festival going on in Sedona, obviously. And that is sponsored by the Sedona Unity. or Unity of Sedona, I should say. And so that'll be going on from Friday and Saturday, this Friday and Saturday. But for those who can't go to it, or, you know, there's a lot of people coming in for it, so it's pretty big. But for those who can't, they're actually doing a webcast where they have a lot of, like, Dan Millman, who else they have, Greg Braden, Gary Renard, just all these different presenters have put together their ideas. I think they each get, like, 5 minutes or so where they're giving their understanding of what the 2012 is about and what the end of the Mayan calendar is about. So for those who can't go to that, you can go to the, it's called the Unity... No, it's called Sedona Festival. You can go to their website, which is sedonafestival.com, and click into that, you know, and share the information they're sharing for those who don't want to go anywhere, because there's a lot of people who don't want to go anywhere in those days. And then my very special friends that I'm working with, Sheila and Marcus Gillette, they are doing a webcast. Sheila channels the 12 archangels called Theo, and they are the archangels who... told Martha Hicks, is that her name? Esther Hicks. You know that she would start channeling Abraham. So they're very good friends, and so they also have a webinar thing going on the 21st. And then I have a Sacred Sites journey, which is a journey to England and Ireland in the summer, and we will be traveling the footsteps of the mystic and really working to raise the vibration of the planet and also our vibrations at the same time. So I got a lot going on, but you can go to my website, universallightworkers.com, and you'll see all the different events and things that we have going on. There's just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like you live a very, very relaxed, peaceful life, very, very quiet. There's nothing going on at all. I'm impressed with how much you've been able to put together and participate in and create. I think this is very exciting for so many people who are interested in getting more involved in their own development, their own spirituality.
Yeah, it's important. You know, for me, it's my life. This is what I do. This is what I love doing. So it's fun.
That's wonderful. Are you going to be going to the Sedona Festival that the Unity is putting on?
No, I can't go. I have a pregnant daughter that I'm living with right now, so we're just, I told her I'd hang around. So, and I just actually moved here from Arizona. I've only been in this place for 2 months, and it's kind of just like I can't go back. I'll probably join in. I mean, I've done all the support. I helped connect all the speakers and get them all there, and I love what they're doing. The Unity of Sedona has just really... They got a new minister, Michael Mirdad, and he has just kicked butt in that town and just done so many things. And this is just a small portion of, you know, what is really happening there, because they really believe in the vortex energy, and they're just, you know, jumping on the bandwagon with it and just bringing it up as much as possible. So I think it's going to be pretty fabulous, though.
I have absolutely no doubt that it will be. This is really exciting. Can you talk a little bit about, we just have a few minutes left, and then we're going to end up having to wrap up the show. But I'm just curious about, you had mentioned a Sacred Sites tour to England over the summer. That sounds very interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about what is involved with something like that? What would people, who can potentially participate and gain the most from something like a traveling experience like that?
You know, I think anybody can gain from it if they're prepared to really want to. You know, what we do on these trips is we actually go through what are called the ley lines of the countries, which are like acupressure meridians, you know, or acupuncture meridians. And they all have these energetic little vortexes and so forth. So what we do, those countries are known, England especially is known as the heart chakra of the world, the earth. And so what there's been so much trauma and so much pain in those areas over the millenniums of time. What we do is we go to these spots and we go in and connect with that energy and free the negative energies and then bring in the Christ of loving energy to it. But at the same time when we do that, it completely raises our vibration. And I've never come back from a trip not being a totally different person, not feeling and seeing the world in a beautiful, more clear way than, you know, it is just, we go through some deep meditations. We do a lot of toning. There's a bit of walking because we're going into some very ancient places that are in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, it's worth it because of what it does for us and what it does for the earth. It's just really powerful work.
What are some of the experiences that you've had when you've taken
tour in other locations in the past?
You know, one of my first trips, I went to Medjugorje, and I got to have an experience there with friends, with Mother Mary, you know, which was very great because it was validating for me, you know, that because I'm not really crazy, you know, because you still think that, you know, at times. You know, so to be, have other people actually see her and experience it, that was wonderful. We've gone to see John of God. We have gone to France, had some marvelous experiences up in the caves of Mary Magdalene, and, you know, just visions, people's visions and experiences that happen with the earth, you know, doing prayers in a prayer circle and having the wind come in and sweep up and create a vortex of leaves and all these weird things that just... You know, it's in my understanding of it, it's the evidence. It's God's evidence of the work that we're doing. Everyone experiences something. Everybody ends up having some type of vision or something that just shifts their consciousness. And, you know, it's just, I've been doing it for so long, I can't even think of all the miracles and beautiful things. We did see a crop circle last year and got to walk through it. That was fantastic. So we've had a lot of good stuff.
It sounds like your entire journey since Mary came to you at age 5 has been nothing but one miracle after another, and even some of the negative experiences can end up bringing amazing lessons, even though they're really difficult trials to go through.
You know, they are difficult, but we go through them every day on some level, and if we just keep that understanding that everything that happens is the continuing unfolding of God in our lives, it can make those experiences not seem so overwhelming.
And difficult, yes, I would agree with that. And on that note, I would like to thank you very much, Robin, for coming onto the show. And I wish you the best of luck as you move forward into 2013, and with your daughter, too, your pregnant daughter. I wish her the best experiences with having a new baby. And you're going to become a grandmother. That's exciting for you, too, I'm sure.
I am very excited since they all told me none of them was going to have any kids. I was so disappointed.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, I wasted my youth having you girls young because I thought it was going to be a grandma. So now I'm really excited.
That's very, very exciting. I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me on my show. It's an honor to sit and talk with you. I really enjoy it.
I enjoy having you here, and I will always look forward to having you come back. You're a wonderful guest. And I have no doubt that the people who are listening are very, very interested in everything that you have to say. So I hope that you have a marvelous holiday season, and I look forward at some point in meeting you live in the future. Thank you so very, very much for joining us on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, honey. We'll see you in February.
I hope so. I'm looking very much forward to it. So this is Claudia Cleary with Namaste Nutrition on GGM Radio, and I'd like to thank you so much for listening to the program with Robin Rose and with me. Namaste. Happy holidays.